everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of Local Folks Podcast. I'm Bob Madar, and in this episode, we're going to join with gleaners as they work to gather food and firewood for their membership. From monthly repacks of donated bulk food to harvesting crops from the field to cutting up and splitting trees that have already been downed for a variety of reasons, gleaners make good use of food and wood that would otherwise go to waste. As we listen to these hardworking local folks, I'd like us to keep the following question in mind. And that is, what do gleaning groups have to do to successfully manage the gathering of all this food and wood? We'll return to this question at the end of the episode.
Yeah, what we're going to do is have everybody turn around and facing that way so that when we leave, because some of us aren't leaving till 9 o'clock, we're not turning around in this gentleman's driveway. He's just the caregiver. It's not his property, and that's not fair to him.
Got it.
So we're going to do this now before... the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Go see Roger, and he's got the sterilizer for your feet.
We need a flag for a reason.
Yes. If you leave the row, mark it. If you finish the row, put it at the end of the row so that we know that that row's done. And when you're done with your row, you need to have your field coordinator check it, make sure it's done right and correctly, and then we'll go to the next row.
That was Sandra, coordinator of the North Sandy Am Gleaners in Scio, Oregon, giving information to group members participating in the blueberry glean. Members arrived at a predetermined location in their vehicles, and were then guided to the field by Sandra and instructed where to park. Sandra then communicated specific instructions to members to meet the requirements stipulated by the owner of the field. In this case, the grower was concerned about contaminating the field with potential disease-causing organisms and required members to sterilize their shoes before entering the field.
Paul Curtis, you'll go to the next row. Okay, so did you guys hear the announcements on how they want this picked?
No, we were waiting.
Okay. So you're actually going to pick every berry on there, whether it's rotten, green, or ripe, okay? If any berries touch the ground, you need to pick them up and put them in your bucket. We are to leave no berry behind, okay? If you go see Roger, he will sterilize your feet, and then you can come see me for a flag, and we'll get you picking, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
On this glean, members had to pick all the fruit, ripe, green, or rotting, off of the plants because of a specific insect pest that can infest leftover berries, overwinter in the field, and then cause problems in the next growing season. Requirements are different for every field and sometimes can be quite complex. Here's Tony telling gleaners from Philomath and Corvallis, Oregon, what they can and can't pick from a pepper patch at his U-Pick vegetable farm.
There's sweet peppers here, and what I'm going to do is just turn over, see how there's three rows?
Uh-huh.
There's two rows of bell peppers, so I'm just going to turn over the outside row of bell peppers.
Okay.
There probably won't be a lot there, but you can take the outside row of this, too.
Everything on the outside of there's three rows,
yeah. There's the third row over you can take. This whole row is hot, this whole row is sweet.
Us on the outside, right?
This side.
Right, this side. This okay,
right
this side.
And that side.
Okay, got it.
You can take two rows of these too, so. So I guess after the break you can take. So for the mini bells and the sweet banana, you can take two rows.
Could you show me exactly which ones you don't want to pick again? I was a little confused about which bushes to stay with.
Between here and the steak and stuff.
Yeah, between here and the jalapenos, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are just shorter. See how they're little yellow and red ones and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
These are longer.
Yeah.
So the shorter ones I want to just keep.
Okay.
And,
see. Uh-huh.
And next, there's repack.
You need another tire, huh?
Yeah, we need a tire.
We need a tire over here. We got room somewhere.
You know what? It would work better if Pete could come over there.
Okay, you want him over here?
At least once a month, Members meet at the Lynn Benton Food Share Warehouse to repack donated or purchased bulk food into household-sized packages for distribution. Here's Betty, coordinator of the Harrisburg Gleaners, describing the process.
We're breaking up the product, then we can put it into the, so we can scoop it into the bag, and then we tie it up and we put it into the container, and then the product will be divided up among our 14 gleaning groups after that.
Oh, I see. So you guys, well, you could divide that up this afternoon?
Yeah, as soon as after our lunch is over.
Okay, okay. And then once it's divided up to the gleaning groups, then what happens next? Does it go back to the warehouse?
It goes back to our each distribution sites, and then it's divided up among the members once it gets back there.
And members and adoptees, right?
Is yes, that's the entire membership of the group. Got so it. That would consist of the gleaners and the adoptees. And that is, it's divided up, in our group anyway, it's divided up among, per size of the family.
So
we had, say if we had 86 people in our group and we had 86 bags of spelt, it would be one bag per person in the family.
Right.
That's how we would divide it up.
And your group, where are you guys?
Harrisburg. We're Harrisburg Harvesters.
Oh, okay. Great. Pam from Alsea Valley Gleaners tells us how repackaged commodities are divided up between groups. So then once things are bagged, then they go into these totes right here. And then these are the ones that you guys then grab one of these and take them out to the site? Or?
Well, no. Okay. So we put them in these bins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have our little potluck thing after we clean up in here.
Oh, okay.
And then Jim will bring all of those back in here.
Yes.
And then we all come in. That's why we draw our numbers.
Ah, okay.
And then we all, and Susan has it broke down as to how many pounds. And then we all come in and get what we need for our group.
It's just before sunrise on a Tuesday morning. Cookie, coordinator of the Mary's River Gleaners, and Muhammad, a fellow group member, are waiting at the service entrance of a supermarket in Corvallis, Oregon, to pick up food and other commodities that are past the sell-by date. Gleaners gather post-dated goods from a wide variety of sources, from supermarkets to farmers' markets and everything in between. Let's listen to Cookie and Muhammad as they describe their process on a pickup run.
They'll come to the back door
Okay. And
raise it up, and then I give them my ID, and they get my EN number, and then we just roll the stuff out and put it in our cars.
Now, do you weigh it here, or do you weigh it back?
Weigh it at the site.
At the site.
Yeah, they take their little machine and go over the numbers, and they know what they've given us. So we just have to, gleaning is all about weights.
Right.
Some other places we wait on the spot.
Yeah, okay. Like Safeways.
Yeah, whatever is convenient.
Okay, and so if you weigh it on the spot for Safeway, do you have to give them that information before you leave?
Yes. We weigh it, and we have what we call Fresh Alliance sheets. I think Mohammed might have one in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Then you write down if it's produce, you write down the weight of the produce. If it's dairy, you write that down. Meats, you write that down. Then that's because of Fresh Alliance. It's a program that they have going with some of the stores.
Okay.
Basically Safeways. And there he's got one of the slips. And then I take those slips and I call in the numbers on there. And then at the monthly meeting, I think you heard Susan say she needed those hard copies before. They didn't. Now they want the hard copies.
Oh, okay. So this is the form then. So this is the Fresh Alliance form. And I see there's a date and time, the donor, the address, transport time and duration. And then basically, boy, they break it right out. So you've got, you have to have the pounds of bread, the pounds of FRC. What's that?
Canned goods.
So then the pounds of produce, pounds of cooler. Is that like?
Cooler is sort of like soda pop.
That are with the meat.
Oh, I see.
You know, stuff that you would have to refrigerate. But like milk, eggs, and butter,
mm-hmm.
and yogurt would be considered dairy.
Dairy, right, because I know they have it separated out here. So dairy would be like processed dairy, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, yogurts,
yeah.
those kinds of things. Because then I know they have a separate one for milk as well.
Yeah, milk is always did separately from dairy.
And then you have a frozen food.
Sometimes
so like,
they give us frozen boxes of pizzas, frozen bags of vegetables. All that has to be weighed separately and put down on there.
Okay, and then finally meats.
Meats.
Wow.
And that includes all meat, lunch meat, roast, ham, turkey, whatever they give you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then basically you sign off on this, and then the thank you for your generous donation, that's basically to the organization mm-hmm. that did the donating. So at Safeway, you get all that stuff, weigh all this stuff out, fill this out, sign it.
And then give them the top copy, yeah. and you'd bring the rest back to the site to me.
Back to the site to you. And then this ultimately goes to Susan, does it not?
Right.
Or to the Lynn Benton Food Share.
Lynn Benton Food Share.
Okay, and then they keep track.
Yeah, of how much we're getting in and everything. And we have to keep our own totals, too. Each gleaner keeps their own totals of what they're receiving and what they're giving out. But Lynn Benton Food Share, they have to track that because it's a special program.
Let's ride along on a wood glean. Members from two gleaning groups, Alsea Valley and South Benton County, have met in a parking lot of a local market, and Pam Turpin, Alsea Valley coordinator, is giving directions to the glean.
We're going to go out the wrong way here. Okay, I am anyway. I'm going to go out this way and go down here to Mountain View.
I'll follow you.
First road. Make a left, and then we turn on Churchill and go up the hill.
Okay, I'll follow you.
Okay. All right.
That's the sound of a wood chipper member set up, because at this particular site, there were a lot of branches and other scraps from the tree on the ground that had to be chipped. Six people from two different groups worked several hours with the chipper, chainsaws, and a hydraulic splitter to clean up the site, cut up and split the wood into quarter rounds, load it onto pickup trucks and utility trailers, and haul it away to distribute to members. Here's Jim Templeton, coordinator of South Benton County Gleaners, talking about how he distributes wood to his membership.
We take it to our adoptees first to see, because a lot of them need wood right now again.
Mm-hmm.
So we take it to their location instead of hauling it to our main pile. We make sure that all of our adoptees have their wood all the time.
And how many adoptees do you guys have?
Well, I've got at least, seven of them, Jimmy? Seven or eight of them now.
Yeah.
And adoptees are people that basically can't get out of the house.
Can't get out and get wood. Yeah.
And so then that's you guys. And then will gleaners, members of the gleaning organization, will they take some wood too?
Yep. We make sure everybody gets, loads of wood, mm-hmm. Like we got one gleaner where we borrowed the truck from. He'll get a load of wood. Then Jimmy will get a load of wood. Mike gets a load of wood. And I already got enough wood, so I make sure that everybody else has got wood.
From harvesting surplus crops to gathering wood from downed trees, gleaners regularly exploit a wide variety of resources for their membership. I'd like us to take a minute to consider that to be successful, gleaners have to plan and schedule, communicate those schedules and plans with their membership and organizations and individuals that are donating food or wood, show up at the right place and right time with the necessary equipment and transport to process and haul whatever it is they're gleaning, and weigh or otherwise document everything they gather. In addition, They have to behave in a professional manner and follow any rules or guidelines donors may have, and they have to be absolutely dependable, showing up on schedule and ready to go to work. Let's listen to Sam, manager of the Corvallis Winco food store, talk about why he supports and values the work that cleaners do.
I'm new to the Corvallis area, and so looking in the background and also just, you know, word of mouth, local shoppers here, and then also long-term employees that have been here a very long time. We've developed a great relationship with Gleaners, and you know, have a couple employees that have participated with them in the past, and just the work that they're doing in the Corvallis area. Efficiency has been one of their big things. You know, they're very responsive, and their efficiency in getting the product from us to the people in need is very good, I guess.
Well, I would imagine, just to kind of expand on that for a minute, but it seems to me that that consistency would be really important to you as an organization.
It's
you
huge.
Have to depend.
Yeah. So, I've worked with some other organizations that the pickups were sometimes missed, or it would be just, say, once a week, and so we'd hold what we could for them, but it wasn't, you know, but having a consistent pickup every day, knowing that, you know, we don't have to, you know, worry about, because there's a certain window in which we can donate, because we cannot donate, like, fully expired product. That is, you know, the product has to be, basically, it's to the point of a sell-by date. And so, but that has life after the sell-by date, but we cannot sell it. And so, that there's a window of which we can donate this product. And with Gleaners coming every day, we know that, you know, as we're doing our job pulling the product in which we cannot sell, then they're maximizing that window between it can still be used for a donation purpose.
Let's revisit the question posed at the beginning of this episode. What do gleaning groups have to do to successfully manage the gathering and distribution of all this food and wood? From my experience, I would answer, a heck of a lot. As an example, consider organizing a blueberry glean. The first step is identifying and recruiting the grower and determining the time and location of the glean and any special requirements, like sterilizing shoes before entering the field, the grower might have. Then members have to be recruited and told where and when the glean is and informed of any instructions or requirements they have to follow. On the day of the glean, members usually meet at a predetermined location and are guided by the coordinator or Susan James from Lynn Benton Food Share to the actual field they will be harvesting. Once they're at the field, members often have to follow very specific and sometimes complex directions on what they can and can't pick, and every pound of produce harvested has to be weighed, documented, and reported to the grower, Lynn Benton Food Share, and ultimately the IRS. Members participating in the glean can keep half of the berries they've picked. The other half are for adoptees who cannot participate, and those berries have to be stored until they can be distributed in an equitable manner. This means that gleaning groups have to maintain a location where food can be stored in accordance with federal, state, and local regulations regarding food storage and handling, and those berries have to be distributed in a fair and timely way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll return for episode 5, airing on November 1st, when we'll spend more time with coordinators, hard-working people who are instrumental in making gleaning groups as successful as they are. These local folks put in many hours per week managing all aspects of their organizations, and their commitment, coupled with the technical assistance from Lynn Benton Foodshare, is a major reason why gleaners are able to help so many people in their communities.
KBOO Portland.